Welcome to the Cold Brew Podcast. I'm Dave Gasper, joined as always by Matt Carroll, and we are the editors at ReviewingTheBrew.com. Got a loaded show coming up today, and we're going to be talking Brewers spring training, the roster crunch coming here at the end of camp, as we are just over, or actually we are just under now, a week away from opening day. It is finally almost here. Opening day is arriving in New York. That is going to be next week. So this is our last podcast before we get to regular season baseball. So it's going to be great. We're going to have a whole lot of fun with it. And of course, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on social media. I am AntiGasper24. We got our Twitter handles right up here on the video. Matt is at MKMatt13. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Be sure to follow us on there so that you never miss an episode. Matt, a week away from opening day. Can you believe it's finally here? It's been such a long offseason.
Well, our opening day. I mean, technically, I guess we had opening day this morning with Los Angeles and San Diego for anyone who decided to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but that's not important. We're talking Brewers opening day. 1 week away, we're almost freaking there. 2024 season, let's go. I'm ready. The roster's not ready, but I'm ready.
No, the roster is not ready. We are ready, and you know who else is not ready, and that is Devin Williams. He is not ready. That's kind of a brutal transition there, but at the same time, we weren't able to talk about this last week when we were talking with Sam Dykstra of MLB Pipeline. We recorded that podcast just before the news broke about Devin Williams. And if you missed that episode, by the way, you can go back and find it, and you can get all the information that we got from Sam and all his great insight on the Brewers prospects on the top 30 list. And definitely check that out. Check out that list. Check out that podcast with Sam. But the news on Devin Williams was not what anyone wanted to hear, as he was dealing with some back discomfort. He went to go see a specialist in Los Angeles, and it turns out that Devin Williams has two stress fractures in his back, and he is going to miss 3 months of the season and is expected to be back around the All-Star break. But either way, Matt, this is a brutal blow. It's a back injury. Those are never easy to deal with. You know, with these stress fractures, Williams is going to be shut down from throwing for several weeks. And that's not a great situation for the Brewers to be in when you lose your closer right before the season starts.
Yeah, not just your closer, but one of the top closers in the entire league. Last year's NL Reliever of the Year. It's tough. That's someone that the Brewers have, you know, leaned on for a few years prior as a setup guy, now as as the closer, and you now have no way to prep for it. That said, you know, if anyone is going to have a bullpen that can get through this, it's the Brewers. They had one of the strongest bullpens in the league last year, and they returned pretty much everyone this year. That's not to say that whoever replaces Devin is on the same level as Devin. That's just not true. But if anyone can weather the storm, it's going to be the Brewers. But just rough timing for an announcement like that.
Yeah, and the Brewers do have one of the most dominant back ends of the bullpen, just with the talent of arms. They're returning pretty much everyone from last year's group. And, like, yeah, they're probably, as weird as it is to say, they're probably as best suited to lose their all-star closer as anyone in baseball with this kind of bullpen. But either way, it's a brutal blow. It does open up a roster spot for one of these other guys that's battling 4-1 in that bullpen, because Devin had that ninth inning job on lockdown. And now this moves these other guys, so that the setup guys, the high leverage guys, up a spot. And some of these lower leverage middle relief guys are going to be able to move up as well. And that opens up another opportunity. But we'll get into that whole roster mix, the bullpen battle. Several different candidates vying for not so many spots, but one spot opening up with Williams out. And it's just one blow after another, really, for this team. You lose Brandon Woodruff for the entire season, and it's like, okay, we still got Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta. We're still going to be in decent shape here in this rotation. And then Corbin Burns gets traded to Baltimore. It's like, okay, well, we got Freddie Peralta and a whole bunch of question marks after that. So the rotation, you know, you went from Freddie Peralta as your three to now Freddie Peralta as your one, and Colin Ray, Jacob Junis as your three. It's a bit of a, you know, different spot to be in. But then on top of losing Woodruff, and then on top of trading away Burns, and now Devin Williams is out for 3 months, this pitching staff, Matt, is going to look so much different from what it was last year, just in terms of the star power and in terms of some of the talent. You know, not having Burns, Woodruff, or Williams for the first 3 months of the year in case they're all-star closer, it's going to be a completely different group, and pitching was a strength of this team last year, and that's at least mildly concerning for me about pitching being a strength again this year.
Right. And then there's still questions around Wade Miley. You know, is he going to miss a start? Is he going to miss a couple of starts to begin the season? Not sure what's there. So Ray or Junis could end up actually being the number two during that first week, which really goes to show what state the rotation's in versus what Brewers fans have experienced for the last few years. There's definitely a lot of question marks. It felt as though the bullpen was at least immune to some of the question marks until now. You've got, is it going to be, you know, one of those guys who is potentially going to start in the minors ends up making the team? Is it, you know, you can't so much say, well, we're now definitely going to need to rely on one of those swingman guys to contribute in the bullpen, because you need them in the rotation right now with, you mm-hmm. know, with Miley's injury and with Burns being gone, with Woodruff being gone and everything like that. So it's going to be tough. But again, there were a lot of guys who are vying for some of those final spots who, you know, I, on my last roster prediction, had starting in the minors, including J.B. Bukauskas, Brian Hudson, Taylor Clark. I had all those guys starting in the minors because of how stacked that bullpen is. So now everyone kind of, you know, slides forward a position, and you've still got a number of guys that you're able to cycle through. But some of that backup that you had for some of those guys who were going to cross back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen now are going to need to be relied on in the rotation at least to start. So you lose a little bit of that flexibility, but at the very least, you know, they do have those assets. You've got, even just, you know, if we're going to focus just at the back of the bullpen, you know, guys like Abner Uribe, Joel Piamps, and Elvis Peguero were all big contributors at the back end of the bullpen in 2023, and they're all back. And they're, you know, in the case of Peguero and Uribe, they're both relatively young. Peguero now, you know, after last year, has finally gotten like a full workload as a reliever. So I'm actually a little excited to see what he does here in 2024. Uribe, not so much the case. Piamps had a career year in 2023. That's a great fireman's hat, as Pat Murphy put it, to be able to kind of handle those ninth inning duties. It's not ideal, but the Brewers have the bodies, they have the arms, let's say, to be able to sustain it. How exactly they do that is going to be interesting, because this is our first year getting to watch Pat Murphy and, you know, how he manages the bullpen and the lineup and a rotation and all those things. We can kind of try and predict what's going to happen, but we don't know Murphy yet. It's all going to be a little bit of a mystery until it actually happens.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, I think a lot of the questions are too, with happening with this happening to Devin Williams. And, you know, the question so many are going to ask is, well, now who takes over as the closer? And, you know, the answer is it's going to be a mix. As you mentioned there with the fireman's hat, it's not going to be just one guy. And Murphy has talked about this as well. I think a lot of us look to Abner Uribe just because he's always had that future closer label slapped on him. I mean, he throws 103 miles an hour. He's got the future's closer label on him. He's got the stuff to do it. Absolutely. 100%. He could be that closer. We saw him dominate last year. Once he arrived, he didn't allow a run in 27 of his 32 outings, something like that. Like, he was lights out, putting up really great ERA, and just lighting up the radar gun. He's still young. This is going to be his first full season at the big league level. I think Uribe is definitely going to get some opportunities for saves. I don't think he's going to be the everyday closer, at least not right now. They're going to start off probably a mix of Piamps and Uribe, and I think Trevor McGill can get some opportunities there in the ninth. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bryce Wilson get some ninth-inning save opportunities as well. He showed out last year in a variety of roles, high leverage, low leverage, multi-inning. He did a whole bunch of different stuff, Bryce Wilson. I could see him earning some ninth-inning nods as well. But I think also as we go through the season, one of these guys is going to step up, and one of these guys is going to become Pat Murphy's trusted ninth-inning guy until Devin Williams returns. And then once Williams does come back, that trusted ninth-inning guy becomes your trusted eighth-inning guy, and your bullpen just got even more locked down. And I think that's what Pat Murphy is looking for, and that's what's going to end up happening. As for who that could be, it could be Uribe, it could be Piamps, it could even be Trevor McGill. It could be any one of these guys that steps up. You never know who it is. Relievers are so volatile from year to year. But if I were betting on who it would be that jumps out to take that ninth inning role every day after maybe a month or so, I would bet on Uribe being that guy.
Yeah, and I same here. That's who I would like to see end up, you know, taking that role and running with it. I think it's who a lot of Brewers fans would like to see in that role. But like you mentioned, he's young. He hasn't pitched a full season yet in the majors. He hasn't pitched a lot of full seasons, period, you know, having battled injuries and stuff in the minors. So, you know, you've got a little bit of that. How will he react in his second year? He's a bit of an emotional guy. You know, how does he end up reacting to the ninth inning when it comes to that? He, you know, got a little bit of that taste in the minor leagues at times. That's one reason, too, why I tend to agree with you when you say that someone will end up kind of carving out that role and being the guy eventually until Devin comes back. Because it's, you know, it takes a certain type of mentality. It takes a certain type of person to be able to thrive in the highest pressure of situations, being the ninth inning. And it would be nice for that player who ends up, you know, being that eventual fill-in closer to know that he is the guy, to expect that you're going to be coming in ninth innings. You're going to be in these high stress situations, as opposed to being day to day and each player, you know, not knowing whether I'm going to be the one getting that final inning or not. Not that there aren't teams that do it that way and do it that way successfully, which really, you know, speaks highly to the players that are able to get by not knowing whether they're going to get a ninth inning or not. But it is still nice, you know, for players and for the team to know, you know, this is our guy. We get to the ninth inning, we've got, you know, a 3-run lead or less. This is who we're going to turn to. The team can prepare for it. The player can prepare for it. It's why it makes sense for it to shake out that way. On top of all of this, you wonder a little bit, does this end up changing the trajectory or the speed of promotions for a Jacob Mizorowski? Mm-hmm. You know, this has to affect at the very least a little bit their thinking and how they approach him this year. It made a ton of sense that, you know, he would kind of like Josh Hader in the past, you know, that continue to work him as a starter, and the closer and closer he got to the majors, you have that decision that you have to make, you know, how are you going to utilize him? If the Brewers end up having an opening and Mizorowski continues to dominate, he gets another quick promotion to AAA, they're going to have a choice to make. If they try a couple guys in that ninth inning role and it goes okay or doesn't go well or anything like that, and they're still looking for someone to take those reins, or they have an injury and, you know, you've only got a couple of your normal late inning guys available, does that accelerate Mizorowski to the majors and for this year at the very least end up placing him into the bullpen? That's something that's going to be a storyline to watch essentially until Devin Williams gets back.
Yeah, it is. And when we talked with Sam Dykstra of MLB Pipeline on last week's podcast, you know, we were talking about Mizorowski and just needing to get him innings. And that's kind of what the Brewers are setting out to do. Now, granted, we talked with him before we knew about Devin Williams. So the whole Devin Williams news does change the conversation, I think, a little bit. I totally agree with you, Matt. It does change that conversation, and it gives Brewers something to think about. He still is going to need innings down there in the minor leagues. Yeah. I mean, he just had 71 innings, I want to say, last year. Got shut down late in the year. You know, just kind of working as a starter. They're still trying to get those innings under his belt. And I think they're going to try and take it a little bit slowly because they want to continue to develop him as a starter. And by the time he is ready, I think by the time the Brewers would be ready to promote him to the big leagues, even for a bullpen role, I think it still would be like second half of the season once Williams is back. I would imagine. I don't envision Mizorowski being up in Milwaukee before the All-Star break, unless something goes catastrophically wrong with everyone else right. in the bullpen and Mizorowski is still just carving everybody up. I don't envision Mizorowski being here in the first half of the season. I think they want to get him those innings and just having him start regularly. But I think it does have to put that thought in the back of the mind of Matt Arnold. It's being like, all right, do we promote Mizorowski a little bit quicker and just kind of put him into that right-handed Josh Hader type role as just kind of your fireball, high-leverage guy coming out of the bullpen? It's definitely something they got to consider. And it'll be something to monitor as – you know, with this current crop of ninth inning options and what Mizorowski does early on in the season here in the minor leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. I tend to believe as well that it would be very situational based. It would be, you know, potentially on the backs of someone, you know, what if a Trevor Megill, you know, ends up getting hurt and he's one of your fireballers there, you know, in the bullpen and, you know, Uribe just isn't quite cut out for the ninth inning and, you know, they have to shift him around. Maybe he ends up having to go back to the minors to get a little seasoning at some point. Who knows? You know, it could be a combination of things where all of a sudden you're looking for impact arms at the back of that bullpen. And Mizorowski certainly could be an impact arm. MLB.com did a survey with a bunch of front office guys this offseason where they looked at, you know, top 100 prospects and did basically superlatives with them. Who's going to be the best starter someday? Who's going to be, you know, hit the most home runs someday, et cetera, et cetera. And they asked who's the best future closer. And Jacob Mizorowski got a majority of those votes. Jacob Mizorowski was currently being worked on as a starter, but that's what a lot of outsiders see in him and seeing the potential in the way that he throws and, you know, his, you know, kind of where his control's at right now. You know, a lot of people see him best lined up in the bullpen as a high leverage, high velocity arm. And so he could thrive in that environment. He could thrive as a starter. Like it's kind of unknown at this point, but you know, sometimes crazy things happen. And if crazy things end up happening in the bullpen, one crazy thing's already happened because we're not getting Devin Williams back until halfway into the season. If more crazy things happen, that's where that could potentially start to happen. But I think you stay the course with him right now, you know, keep with the plan that you've been using with him. And then if things happen, things happen and you go from there.
Yeah. And they'll have to adjust on the fly if needed, but staying the course is exactly what the Brewers are going to have to do. And it's exactly what they're going to do with Jackson Churio. Now, so just kind of switching gears back to the offensive side here, it was also announced that Jackson Churio will indeed make the opening day roster. This is after, you know, there were some cryptic comments from Pat Murphy about the defense needing to work on some stuff there. And then we saw Jackson Churio badly misplay a ball in a spring training game. One of the few that have been actually broadcast on TV around here, which has been very frustrating. How few TV spring training games there have been this year, but Bally Sports is broke. So, you know, we kind of know how that goes over there, But Churio badly misplayed a line drive, let it get past him, and you know, led to, you know, a single turning into a triple, essentially, in one of those games. And then, I mean, he made up for it, you know, by you know, tracking down a fly ball pretty nicely, making a very strong throw home to prevent a sacrifice fly, prevent the runner from even trying to score. Shortly after that is when we found out Jackson Churio is indeed making the team. So Churio's making it. This isn't too much of a surprise considering he signed an 8-year, $82 million contract extension this offseason before he even made his MLB debut. He's only got 6 games of AAA experience under his belt. He's just turned 20 years old, and expectations are high. The Brewers believe in him, and he's going to be one of your everyday outfielders here in Milwaukee this season. We're going to see him at the beginning of the year. We're going to see him on opening day. And Matt, this is the beginning of a new era, it feels like.
Yeah, and I'm glad it's starting now. You know, fans are going to be glad it's starting now. You sign a guy for 8 years and you expect to, you know, start to reap the rewards of that as soon as possible. You want to see that guy playing when you're going to commit that type of a contract to him, even though he's not making that much money up front. You know, you, like you said, expectations are high, and fans want to see the future of the franchise playing right away. And granted, like you said, Murphy did kind of throw us off the trail. I don't know if he was doing that on purpose. I don't know if it was coach
speak. He probably did it on purpose just because Murphy likes to do that.
Probably, but he was saying, like, that morning he said that Churio was in the mix to make the roster, and it's like, just in the mix? Like, what the yeah. heck does that mean?
It's such a Murph move. I was reading this article in The Athletic about Pat Murphy, and when Sal Frelick, you know, tried to introduce himself at his first big league camp, Murph told him that he was the video guy and not the bench coach. He's like, yeah, I'm the video guy. And, you know, Sal Frelick just went along with us. Like, oh, cool, that's the video guy. And played that bit for like 2 weeks. And he told him, like, he's like, oh, who's your favorite player? Dustin Pedroia? Oh, that guy sucks. And just, yeah, it's just like, okay, but we all know Dustin Pedroia doesn't suck. But yeah, it feels like that's Murphy's thing, and he's just going to be a nightmare for beat writers and everyone trying to cover this team.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I've read from a couple people that he's been very open in the media availability, yet he kind of has some of those ways that he jokes around and things that he says, yeah, where you're like, are you being serious, or I don't quite get. One of the other things he said about Churio is, you know, we've signed him for a lot of years. He's going to be around for a while, which made it seem like he was saying, well, if he's not up with the team right away, it's fine because he's got plenty of time in front of him. So yeah, he was just saying so many things that it was like, now I'm not so sure that he's going to make the opening day roster. And then he has such a rough day defensively. They're like, well, shoot, now that certainly didn't help. And then by the end of the day, we find out that he's made the opening day roster. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad that Murphy hasn't lost, you know, some of that playfulness now that he's moved from, like, you're bench coach and you want to be playful with some of your quotes and stuff like that. Whatever. No worries. Now you're the manager and you're expected to be the face of the team. And I'm glad he's still being the same old Murphy. And I'm not surprised that he is, because, hey, he's been on this earth long enough. Like, he is who he is at this point. But I'm still glad he's doing it. I think he's going to be a pleasure this year. But getting back to Churio, because that's who we're here to talk about right now. He's had a solid spring. He's hit well. He's close to 300 with his batting average. Not a lot in terms of the extra base hit department. I think he has, what was it, 3 doubles, and I think that's it at this point. His on pace percentage, I think, was 314 when I looked it up. So, okay. His one of the good things to see is his strikeout rate this spring is right around his minor league career average, which, you know, being that he has been starting games and generally facing starters from the other teams, the fact that his strikeout rate hasn't spiked this spring, very good thing to see. Now we're going to have to see what he's going to do in the regular season. And I'm not overly concerned about the defensive ends. I know that he's only been playing the outfield for a few years, but he is so unbelievably athletically gifted that he's taken to it so well that, yeah, he has these blips every once in a while, but for the most part, he does. He's an above average defender in the outfield, which is crazy to say. It's insane that he's already above average in the outfield when he's only been playing it for a few years. So I don't have huge concerns there. The fact that he's probably the weakest outfielder of all the outfielders the Brewers have outside of maybe Christian Yelich really says a lot about the state of the Brewers' defensive outfield. I think he will be just fine there.
Yeah, and that's the thing too with all these outfielders. I mean, even with some of his maybe defensive struggles, you can put him in any spot. I mean, we've seen him in some of the corners in spring training here. He's playing in right field the other day, and you could play him, really in any of those spots. I mean, same with like Garrett Mitchell. I mean, you could put Garrett Mitchell in center field, and he's locked down defensively. Mm-hmm. So if you have some defensive questions about Churio, you can put Mitchell in center. And you can put Churio in right or in left, and you can put him in one of those spots and have him fill in. And it's probably going to be a mix and match with this group, just getting everyone there at bats, because Mitchell and Frelick and even Weimer need some at bats as well. But Churio is going to be getting every single day at bats. And that's just the exciting part too here, just getting him the chance to play every single day. You know he's going to get it. You also have the prospect promotion incentive too. So Churio being a consensus top 100 pick, making the opening day roster, even though he's already signed the contract extension. So there is no service time thing that the Brewers have to worry about here, about keeping control of him for an extra year or anything like that. But still, making it on the opening day roster, and should he win a Rookie of the Year award, which is very much in play, should he win an MVP award in his first three seasons, which is very much in play, then the Brewers get a draft pick in reward for that. So that's something that the Brewers are also going to be considering, which is another good reason to have him play on opening day, putting him on that roster. But it's going to be a very crowded group, especially now that we know that Churio is there. And obviously, even before the extension, there was belief that he was going to be competing for this opening day roster spot. And now with the extension, with Pat Murphy's comments, we know that he is going to make it. And he's just been fantastic. But that does lead to a little bit of a roster crunch when it comes to this position player group. Now that you have this 20-year-old Uber prospect superstar coming up that you're expecting to do big things and play every single day, this position player group gets a little bit more crowded. Now, we have seen some cuts in camp. Camp is down to 34 players. And we've seen Owen Miller get optioned. Vinny Capra and Oliver Dunn got sent down. Tyler Black got reassigned to minor league camp from the position player group. So some of these guys that are coming in that maybe they could compete for a spot, they are now down in the minor leagues. Owen Miller, maybe the biggest surprise, if you could consider him a surprise of the group, just because he did play such a big part of the roster last year. Dunn is a new addition. Capra is a waiver claim. Black, not on the 40-man roster. So once they added Ortiz, and once they started putting Frelick at third base, Black's chances of making opening day were pretty slim from there. But now with this position player group, you've got 15 guys left in camp, and you've got 13 spots. And those final few spots, Matt, are going to be very difficult to trim down. Just kind of quick running through the list, running through the roster here. You got just of the guys that I think are pretty much locked into spots. You got Yelich, Churio, Mitchell, Frelick, Hoskins, Terang, Adames, Contreras, and Sanchez as your nine locks that are going to be in your lineup just about every single day. Then you have six remaining guys in camp, and you're going to have to cut two of them from this list in order to make your opening day roster and have your 13 players in your four-man bench. Jake Bowers, Andrew Monasterio, Eric Haas, Joey Ortiz, Joey Weimer, Blake Perkins. Those are your six remaining options. that are not locks but are still vying for roster spots. You got to cut two of them, Matt. Which two of this list of six, Bowers, Monasterio, Haas, Ortiz, Weimer, and Perkins, do you think will not make the opening day roster?
Oh, the two that I think probably don't make it are going to be Perkins and Monasterio. Mm-hmm. And I'm very 50-50 between Perkins and Weimer. I could see them wanting Weimer to be in the minor leagues and get a bunch of at-bats. I could also see them wanting him because of his potential be in the majors, because he and Perkins are ungodly gifted out defenders in the outfield. They may be the two best, to be honest. And that again says a lot. But I'm going to go with Weimer. I think the Brewers really like him. They want to see him succeed, and they want, you know, the big question is going to be, you know, he made that adjustment to his batting stance. Are they going to want him to continue working on that in the minors? Because he has been a little bit, you know, slow to start this spring. He's finally starting to kind of collect some hits now. And then Monasterio, I think Bowers ends up making the team, much to your dismay, because at this point you just need a backup first baseman. He's what you've got with Miller already optioned. And I think Joey Ortiz has just outplayed Monasterio. Joey Ortiz has been fantastic. He has hit well. He has played Gold Glove defense. I don't know how, as valuable as a backup as Monasterio is, I don't know how you leave Ortiz off the roster over Monasterio, personally. And then Eric Haas, like, we've got to get to him. He has just hit the cover off the ball more than just about any player on the Brewers. And I know it's weird to carry three catchers, but Haas can play a little bit of left field. You need a designated hitter. And that could, you know, carrying Haas could allow Contreras or Sanchez to play DH and not have to worry about what happens if your starting catcher gets injured. We've kind of had this conversation a little bit before, but at this point, Haas has hit so well that I don't get how you leave him off the roster unless, and I wrote a little bit about this today, unless you can find a trade partner for Haas. That is something the Brewers could consider, whether another team would want to actually trade for a guy who's coming off a down year. And, you know, you go down that whole path all you want. I think that's something the Brewers could at least look at, but I don't know how you leave them off the roster at this point. So for me, the two that don't make it are going to be, I'm going to go with Monasterio and Perkins, but I could very much see Weimer versus Perkins.
Yeah, I think I'm in pretty much the same boat as you, just when it comes to this group. And yeah, I mean, Eric Haas, I don't know how you leave him off. He's hitting over 400. He's got several home runs, just been playing absolutely phenomenally. Plus, Gary Sanchez is still dealing with that hand issue a little bit. He hasn't been catching that much. So in terms of trusting Gary Sanchez to be your sole backup catcher to William Contreras, I'd rather have a little bit more insurance there. So I could definitely see Haas making it and carrying essentially three catchers, which is going to make it difficult to have extra guys in this group. And that's too where, you know, having those backup infield spots all covered, having a backup shortstop, having a backup first baseman is going to be so important and so difficult. But I think that's also where carrying two extra outfielders there on the bench is not feasible. One of Weimer or Perkins has to be down in the minors. I completely agree with you. It's got to be one of them. And frankly, you know, just kind of looking at the numbers here, I just think you might have to go with Weimer, because, you know, as much as Weimer has struggled, Weimer's hitting 209 in spring here, and Blake Perkins is hitting 091.
Yeah.
it's been bad for Perkins. Perkins is not exactly proving himself that he can add anything here in spring training. He's gotten 22 spring at bats, okay, three RBIs. He's got a 276 OPS not on base percentage, not batting average, OPS of 276. Mm-hmm. And Perkins is a light hitter as it is. And Weimer, even though he's making all these adjustments and there's still, you know, some work to be done with that, I think the Brewers are going to have to almost roll with Joey Weimer to take that spot. So I'm with you. I think Perkins is going to be left off of this group. And I think it's going to end up being Monasterio. And, you know, between Monasterio and Ortiz, offensively, it hasn't been that much of a difference. Monasterio is hitting 242. Ortiz is hitting 240. They're pretty much right there. But, you know, Monasterio, a couple of RBIs, not really, you know, doing much for having, you know, extra base hits. He's not exactly slugging a whole ton here. Just, yeah, one double in his eight hits in spring here. 33 at bats and one walk, 11 strikeouts and 33 at bats for Monasterio. Oof. It's a lot. It's a lot of strikeouts in spring training for Monasterio. And plus the Brewers trading Corbin Burns to get Ortiz, what they believe he can be, plus just a stellar defender at shortstop at any position. Monasterio is a good defender. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with Monasterio's defense. Ortiz's defense is just better. Just straight up. So I think Ortiz is going to end up getting that spot over Monasterio. And yeah, so Monasterio and Perkins, I think, are going to be the ones that are left off this bench. So that leaves you with a bench of Jake Bowers, Eric Haas, Joey Ortiz, and Joey Weimer. And Ortiz is going to get a lot of starting opportunities at third base, probably splitting time with Frelick over there. But that's probably the bench that you're looking at this point. And, you know, I'm not a big Jake Bowers fan, as everyone kind of knows at this point. I don't think it's going to last long with Jake Bowers. But, I mean, who else on this team could play first base if Hoskins needs to take a rest? Could you put Gary Sanchez over there? Could you really put William Contreras over there? You know, there's really kind of no one else that you can put in that group that can play over there. So I think Bowers is going to end up getting a roster spot.
Yeah, he's got to at this point. Would love if they could teach either Sanchez or Haas to play over there. Would love if they would have.
I would love if they could teach Jake Bowers to hit, you know, but yeah,
that's fair.
It's, I don't know if any of that's going to happen.
That is fair. Yeah, and with Ortiz, the defense is why, another reason why you just absolutely have to end up going with him. Defense for the Brewers is going to be as important in 2024 as it has ever been, with that starting pitching unit having taken a little bit of a step back from previous years. Even just last year, while, you know, the offense was kind of struggling and you know, going through these down points at a lot of the middle of that season, it was the fact that they had strong defense behind the strong pitching that allowed the Brewers to win some of those, you know, low scoring games. I have to imagine that even though the offense has been upgraded a little bit, the pitching has been downgraded a little bit. And so it's going to be just as important. And that is the biggest reason why you have Ortiz over Monasterio on that bench. Monasterio, yeah, to your point, he's good defensively. He had his moments at third base where sometimes he'd have these great plays and sometimes he'd have these, what are you doing, dude, plays. Yeah. Ortiz, and I don't expect to have any of the latter. He is so good.
And also with the pitching taking a step back, you need your offense to continue to take a step forward. And Monasterio, as much as I love him, he's a light hitting option, essentially. He doesn't bring much for power, especially if he's going to be playing a lot of a corner spot. And Ortiz, you know, we haven't seen much of him at the big league level, but offensively, you know, he grades out pretty well with the bat. Maybe not a ton of pop, maybe a little bit more than Bryce Terang, but, you know, grades out to have a pretty solid bat. We'll see. But I think the Brewers would be better off rolling the dice on Ortiz having a productive bat. I think that's a better bet than Monasterio being a productive above average bat. So I think that's where you're going to have to go with him. And same reason for Weimer over Perkins. Weimer, if he's able to get into a rhythm and get locked in at the plate, you know, he can be a real 30-30 type threat, you know, hitting bombs, stealing base as well, because we know he's fast. He could truly be that guy. Blake Perkins, at his best, is not going to be anywhere close to a 30-30 threat. He's just not. So that's what I think that's where the Brewers have to go, putting those guys on the roster and leaving Monasterio and Perkins off. That seems like it's where things are heading with this position player group. But now, on to the pitchers, and also equally important part of this team and this roster battle, because that's really where a lot of the battles are, especially in the bullpen. The rotation, a little bit different. So I've got a couple of locks here. I've got, I'd say, 11 locks of the 13 spots that you can have for pitchers. So it doesn't leave a lot open right now. But I've got Freddie, D.L. Hall, Colin Ray, Jacob Junis, and Wade Miley in the rotation. I've got these guys locked in to making the team. Miley, assuming that he's healthy and doesn't need an IL stint, which is what it looks like. It looks like he's not going to need an IL stint. Should be good to go. Then in the bullpen, you got Piamps, Uribe, McGill, Milner, Wilson, and Peguero. I think are pretty strong locks to make this roster out of camp and be big parts of this bullpen. That's 11 pitchers. So that leaves you two spots left in that bullpen to try to get to your 13 and get to your opening day roster. And you have a lot of guys vying for these spots. You have Joe Ross still. You have Thiago Vieira. You have Aaron Ashby. You have J.B. Bukauskas. You have Taylor Clark. And you have Brian Hudson. And you've got room for two of those guys, of that list of six. So of those guys, of Joe Ross, Thiago Vieira, Aaron Ashby, J.B. Bukauskas, Taylor Clark, and Brian Hudson, Matt, which two guys are you putting in those final two spots on this roster?
So the two I'm going to have, who are the two that I had in my last roster projection for the site, because at that time, I actually had Wade Miley off because
in the IL.
Hard for us. Yeah, exactly. Hard for us to tell exactly what was going to happen with him. Now it seems like he's trending a little better, but I also had Devin Williams on because we didn't know he was hurt yet. So the two that I had with those guys kind of canceling each other out were Thiago Vieira in the bullpen, and then Joe Ross, actually, I had him at the time in the rotation. I still think there's a good chance they use him in the rotation, even if Miley doesn't necessarily start on the IL, but just gets his, you know, season debut delayed a little bit. I think there's a good chance that Joe Ross earns himself a start, just one maybe to start the year. But those are two guys I have. Joe Ross, he's got no minor league options left. He's performed fine this spring. I think the Brewers want to see what they have in him. I think he gives them a lot of good options as a swingman type guy, especially since they seem pretty committed to D.L. Hall starting the year as a starter. So if D.L. Hall isn't going to be kind of your swingman guy, at least at the beginning, that kind of leaves Joe Ross to fill that role, to me anyway. And then Thiago Vieira has performed well this spring. He's another guy with no options left, but I think the Brewers still want to see what they have in him as a young guy who can throw hard, you know, can maybe take some of those high leverage innings, you know, in a pinch if they needed to. He offered kind of a, you know, little bit of an interesting view towards the end of last season. So I think he makes it at least to start. But again, it's kind of easy arguments to make to those guys in that, you know, it's 26 man opening day roster or bust for them, essentially.
Yeah, it is. And that's where, especially early on, these guys that are out of options seem to have a leg up in those roster battles because the team doesn't want to lose them. I don't think the Brewers want to lose Thiago Vieira before the season. I think they'd rather test him out in the regular season, see if he can lock down a job. If he struggles in April, they can DFA him and call up someone else who has their options that they have sent down. So for that reason, I am also including Thiago Vieira as one of my guys that's making this roster. But my other guy is my swingman. I'm going to have Aaron Ashby. I'm going to have him making this club just because, I mean, the Brewers love him. I know he's missed all of last year with an injury, but also Joe Ross has missed the last 2 years because of injury. So, you know, really, you don't know what you're going to have with either one of those guys. But the Brewers made a commitment to Aaron Ashby. They made a long-term commitment to Ashby, signing him to a big contract prior to arbitration. And I think the Brewers want to see what they have in a healthy Aaron Ashby. He's looked healthy this spring. They've tried to kind of slowly bring him along. So I think he could fill that swingman role, get starts when needed, and give them a couple of innings, give them some length, and pitch in a variety of roles. And also it gives them another lefty out there as well, because you got Hall in the rotation. You got Miley probably in the rotation, but Hobie Milner is your only other lefty in that bullpen group. Mm-hmm. So if you can get Ashby out there in that bullpen, even as a swing man, it provides another lefty option. You know, even if you only need him for one inning, whatever it is, gives teams a different look. So I think with Ashby, with what they have invested in him, I think they want to give him the opportunity to prove that he is healthy again and do that at the big league level. I don't think they want to send him back down unless they're trying to continue to stretch him out as a starter, in which case they might. But for me, I've got Thiago Vieira and Aaron Ashby as my last two guys making this bullpen.
Yeah, I would like to see Aaron Ashby be that guy. I super excited for, you know, when he was pitching. You know, it's not like he had a zero ERA or anything like that, but you could tell that the stuff that he had is going to be something that's going to be a force to be reckoned with at some point. I question his health a little bit currently because he hasn't appeared in a lot of games in the last week or so. I know the Brewers had mentioned something about he's working sim games currently, so he is pitching. But I do wonder if they want to get him some minor league action first before having him be ready. But that, if we end up seeing him in games in the next week, then, you know, that could kind of throw that all out the window. So I've got my conspiracy theory hat on, my tinfoil on a little bit with Aaron Ashby currently, just because I don't know what's up with him. And that's where I could see him maybe not making it initially. But again, like you said, April a lot of times is for those non-minor league option guys to make rosters and then try and stick. And if they don't, then yeah, you're not paying Vieira squat. You're not really paying Ross that much to where, like, yeah, you signed him to the contract.
He's getting like $1 million, right?
Yeah, something like that. So not so much to where if you cut him, you would really even have to worry about it. So I don't think the money or the contract has anything to do with why you keep Ross around. It's, you know, you saw something in him. You want to see it through at least a little bit. If he struggles. You've got guys to back it up and bring in who then you can option back and forth. So that's where I could see it going either way. But that's why I have and you have who you have.
Yeah, and Bukauskas and Clark and Hudson, they all have options remaining. Bukauskas, we thought, was out of options. It turns out he was granted a fourth option year. So that's going to help the Brewers keep him around in the organization. That does not help his chances of making the opening day roster. Prior to finding that out, I would have gone with Vieira and Bukauskas making this club. And, you know, they could end up like Javi Guerra last year, where it's like, okay, we're expecting him to, you know, just be a bullpen arm. He throws hard. Mm-hmm. He's out of options. We'll see what he can do. And within like, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he was DFA'd. And
wasn't long.
Yeah, so that could be something that ends up happening with Vieira or any of these out-of-options guys. But I think Vieira's going to make it to start, see what they have in him. But, yeah, it could be Ashby. It could be Ross. Ross may be the better bet, especially if Ashby's not been playing in Cactus League games. Having him in sim games is one thing to, you know, get his work in, you know, to harken back to our spring training cliches. By the way, I swept the vote on our Spotify poll on who had best cliches. Yeah, sorry, just saying, 100% of the vote, champion over here, spring training cliches. I had best shape of his life. It was pretty much a done deal after that, though.
I've only seen bubble wrap a billion times since then, though, so I'm like, come on. I felt like I had one of the most common ones of all spring, but.
Right, oh, yeah. Whatever. Oh, yeah. But, oh, well. But anyways, moving on from that quoting. Yeah, spring training is coming to an end, thankfully. And opening day is on its way. We'll see what Pat Murphy ends up doing with his final decisions on this group. But if Ashby's not in spring games and Ross is, I think that may lead more to Ross getting that job. You know, even being in sim games for Ashby, if he was fully ready to go, they would put him in Cactus League games. Like sim games is really, especially for a guy like that, for some like established guys, that's going to be, you know, that's something that maybe like early in the year when like everyone's pitching at the same time, but like now that they would not be doing that if they felt he was truly ready to face, you know, a full Cactus League game.
Well, and it was weird though, because Ashby did appear in some Cactus League games early, but just hasn't recently, but is still pitching. So that's where I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. We're in the dark.
We don't really know. Yeah.
Right. And they haven't really mentioned, because I want to say it was Kurt Hoag who kind of had mentioned that, like, yes, he is pitching. He's doing some side work, but he didn't reveal that there was any injury he was working through or anything like that. So don't know why it is what it is, but we know he's coming back from an injury. So, and a pretty substantial one. So we'll see.
Yep. And we'll end up seeing Ashby quite a bit this season.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's on opening day or not. Same thing with like Robert Gasser and Carlos Rodriguez. We're not going to see them on opening day, but we know we're going to see them quite a bit throughout the season, because this starting rotation of, you know, Freddie, D.L. Hall, like Colin Ray, Jacob Junis, Wade Miley, Joe Ross, those last four guys aren't really going to be blocking Gasser or Rodriguez much. You know, if the opportunity is there, the Brewers are going to be getting those young guys, those opportunities to get those starts. So by the time we get to, you know, a month or two into the season, you know, especially by like the halfway point, by the end of the year, this rotation is going to be looking a lot different than it is right now. But on opening day, as we're approaching what's directly in front of us, you're going to have Ray, you're going to have Junis, you're going to have Miley around, and you're going to have some of these veterans to eat up some innings while the kids get some more experience.
Yeah, the rotation this year versus really, you know, any other year we've seen over the last few is going to be ever changing. Like, I don't want to say revolving door, because I wouldn't bring it to that. But there's going to be, you could see, you know, 9, 10, 11 different guys get at least one start, I would be willing to bet, this year. With, you know, because again, you can't predict injuries. You can't predict just flat out poor performance. There are things that just happen that you can't plan for, and that you end up having guys step up. That's why Colin Ray is still on this team, is because he ended up having to step in last year and did so well at holding down the fort. Yeah. Did he pitch to a Cy Young level? No. Did he pitch, you know, better than a lot of back end starters that you have on other teams? Yes. And that's how he earned himself a new contract and is in the rotation this year. Those are the types of things that happen every season.
He gave the Brewers a chance to win each time he was out there last year. And that was the key. It wasn't always the prettiest, wasn't really shutouts that much, but Colin Ray ate up five innings and he kept the Brewers in the ball game every single time he was out there. Didn't really have scoreless ones, but he didn't have blow up ones where he gave up 6-7 runs either. So that's how Colin Ray earned himself a nice big raise and came back for another year. And that's the hope, that he can continue to do that. Same thing with Jacob Junis, to just keep the team in games. And you got to hope for offensive improvement from the rest of the guys in the lineup in order to get yourself going. Because previously, it's like you would have three aces like Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, boom, boom, boom. You're shutting guys down. You only need maybe three runs to win a game. Now, you're probably going to need five runs or more to win a game. With guys like Ray and Junis and maybe even Miley at this point in his career as well. So you're going to take that offensive improvement. Now, Pat Murphy has said he thinks he's going to see a quantum leap from Bryce Turang this year. You know, we're going to need to see a quantum leap from Garrett Mitchell and Sal Frelick as well, and Joey Weimer. It'd be nice to see some quantum leaps from them as well, and you know, especially with health in the case of Mitchell and Frelick. Churio, you know, if he lives up to expectations, you know, that's going to be a quantum leap over what they had. So you know, that's what they're going to need. And that offense is looking much better if these guys, if these young guys can make that jump. And that's going to help you get through, you know, a large chunk of your rotation just being guys that will, you know, hopefully keep you in the game and eat up a couple of innings versus having the, you know, Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, Adrian Hauser type days from that rotation.
Yeah, I would see when you look at, you've got, you know, the four, we're going to exclude Churio here. You've got the four and, you know, Mitchell, Weimer, Frelick, and Terang. I'd be very surprised to see all four of those guys struggle in 2024. At yeah. least one of those guys, likely two of them, are going to step up and be at least average players for the Brewers. And that'll be huge because those are going to be, they're all going to be heavily, at the very least, three out of the four of them are going to be heavily relied upon players for the Brewers. And some of those guys are going to take steps forward. I think Mitchell probably, just being that he's a little bit further advanced than the other three,
yeah.
probably the most likely, provided he stays healthy.
That's the most important part.
Yep. And I think Frelick probably is the next best bet just in terms of a pure talent level. But I think, you know, if Murphy believes in Terang, I believe in Terang because Murphy is a baseball guy. He yeah, knows
he has
knows
seen it all.
When he sees it. Exactly. So if he says Terang's got a chance to take a quantum leap forward, I believe in it too. So
especially Murphy's experience working with young players, you know, being a college coach for so many years, you know, he knows when some of these guys are primed to take a big leap in that upcoming year. And, you know, Terang last year, like we've known Terang can hit, you know, all throughout the minor leagues, it was an above average hit tool. And he just struggled last year. I think he's going to be much better here in year two. You know, how much better it is remains to be seen. But I don't think he's going to be a 218 type hitter again. I think he's going to be much better than that. And if you get him on base, you know, a whole lot more often, and you just get him, you know, get a few more hits through, and I think you got a really, really great ball player. I mean, he stole 26 bases last year with an on-base percentage of like 285. Like, he still stole a ton of bases, barely getting on base. You know, if you get that up a little bit, you got a menace out there. So it's going to be a very fun year for these young players. They're going to need a couple of them to step up. Who it's going to be, we'll find out. You know, that as our spring training cliches from a couple of weeks ago would say, it'll all find a way to work itself out. You know, things have a way of working themselves out in the end. They always do. And these guys, they're going to play their way through it. So that'll do it for us this week. Next week, opening day, we've got regular season baseball that we're going to have to talk about on next week's pod. This is our final pod of the offseason, I guess you could say, final pod of spring training. And the regular season is coming up. It is finally here. Our long national nightmare of this offseason is finally over, and regular season baseball, meaningful baseball, will be back in our lives. Meaningful Brewers baseball
will be
back in our lives. We will have games on TV every single day, which we have not had in spring training because Bally Sports, for some reason, doesn't want to do that. I don't know. But anyways, regular season baseball coming up. Again, be sure to follow us and rate us on any podcast site, whatever podcast site you listen to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you go, anywhere that you listen. Follow us on Twitter. Follow the podcast account on Twitter at @ColeBrew_pod. Never miss an episode. Thank you for listening. This has been the Cold Brew Podcast.